thank you right now for all that you've done up to this point. Even now, I pray, Father God, that you'll sanctify this earth and tabernacle. Even my lips, God, that as I minister the word of God, I minister not as a mere man, but that I may minister, Father, as one of your elect agents to release the word of the Lord into the earth realm. I pray that, Lord God, this altar, this sanctuary, Father, would be sanctified and set apart and meet for your use. Together in agreement, we pray that every work of evil is now bound in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that every lingering demon that would come and try to bring any level of confusion, any level of dissatisfaction, or any level of confusion, Father, right now we cage them up and take them to the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there they will be judged and tormented. We thank you, Father God, right now for the release of your anointing. We release your word right now, Father, that it will run very swiftly throughout this auditorium. That will impact the hearts, minds, and souls of every individual under the preached word of God. We thank you, Father, in advance what you're going to do. We know that, Father God, all that we do believing, we shall have whatsoever thing that we ask for. In the mighty name of the Most High God, Jesus Christ, we pray and we say, amen. Somebody shout kingdom pursuit. Come on, shout kingdom pursuit. All right, I got to get into this word, and I may make sure that you have got some uplift to you and some excitement to you as we get into this word. We got to recognize that God is looking for us to be a people that understand that we're called to be in a place of pursuit of the kingdom of God. We're not called to allow the kingdom of God to come upon us. We need to what? Pursue the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's construct for himself and as well as his citizenry. The kingdom of God is God's construct for himself and his citizenry. This construct is for sovereign governance in heaven and on earth. We are challenged to seek first the kingdom of God. That means that no matter where we find ourselves, amen, betwixt. In other words, if we're needing a home, needing transportation, we're needing to be healed, we're needing a financial breakthrough, the Bible says for us to seek first the kingdom of God. I want you to turn there real quickly with me in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 33. I want you to recognize many times we face many, many dilemmas. We find ourselves struggling in the area of health. We find ourselves struggling in the area of wealth. We find ourselves struggling in our marriages, things happening in our family, things happening in our neighborhood, things that are happening to our homes and houses. And you know, there's so many DIY books, do-it-yourself books. And God's saying, listen, I don't want you to be focused on doing anything yourself. I want you to be consistently focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Come on, somebody. And what happens? All things shall be added. So we can't get up on the screen, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Now, if there's someone here that would like to get a courtesy Bible, if you lift your hand in the air, one of the ushers will see that your hand's up and get a courtesy Bible with you. But if you will, we'll also have the scriptures up on the screen if we can get those in just a moment. Once again, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is where we want to start. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when we think about this, we have to recognize that there, if we're in verse 33, there was a verse 1 and a 2 and an 18 and 19. So I want you to recognize that in verse 25, it says something very significant that we need to have in our mind as we think about verse 33. I believe it's verse 25 there. We can get it up there. 24 or 25. That's not what I'm looking for. Let's look here. I got it right here. Verse 24. Yes, that's the one I'm looking for. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. So when we think about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, well, the scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. We find that in verse 24, he makes a statement that should qualify us for verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. And he says, no man can serve two masters. Now, what this means is that oftentimes when we find ourselves betwixt in need of something, and that need is fulfilled outside of God, outside of the kingdom of God, God looks at it as you serving mammon. So God, when you find yourself needing things, needing a need met, God expects you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that things can be added. But when we look at that in contrast to verse 24, God says you cannot serve God, you cannot serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So in other words, when our needs are met by God, we're actually in the kingdom of God having our needs met. All things are being added. But when we're looking to do things outside of the kingdom and make things happen, God says that we're now serving mammon. And for many of us, this is part of the struggle with our lives. We begin to pursue things and have things met outside of the kingdom of God. And when you look to have things met and you look to have them met outside the kingdom of God, it comes with things that you are not really desiring. In other words, there are times where a promotion can look like a promotion, but in actuality, it's going to be used as a way of holding you captive. Right? So you've been praying about a promotion, and maybe you've gotten away from that, and now you're just looking for another way to make it happen. So what do? You go get a second job. In the process of getting a second job, that second job wants you to work on Sundays. So now, instead of it actually being a blessing, there is sorrow that has been added to the level of prosperity or breakthrough that you want to categorize as that particular breakthrough. Are y'all following me here? So God says that when we look to have these things met outside of the kingdom of God, he says it's actually serving mammon. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, we cannot serve mammon. We got to pursue the kingdom of God first. Now, when we start talking about the kingdom of God, you got to recognize the kingdom of God oftentimes can be difficult in order to obtain. It's going to require you to be violent in your faith walk. It's going to require you to be perseverant. It's going to require you to have a forehead that is set like flint. You're going to have to be someone that does not give up easily if you're going to be an actual kingdom citizen. Because you have to recognize the moment you declared and decreed that you're a child of the Most High God, the enemy put a bullseye on your backside. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to try to deter you from keeping persistent in your walk with God. Now, when we look at the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, I want you to see something there that makes it very clear to you that the kingdom of God is not something that comes about easily. The kingdom of God must be taken by force. You got this? The kingdom of God has got to be taken by force. Every step that you want to take, the devil is there to try to resist you. But you have to recognize that God, through the book of 1 John, says he's made you more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. He also tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, God says he's given you power to do what? Condemn it. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, God says, I have given you power over all the power of the devil. So you got to recognize that even though you're a kingdom citizen, there's going to be levels of opposition. But don't fear, because God has already given you the victory even before the opposition comes around. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent do what? They take it by what? What are they taking by force? They're taking the kingdom by force. So the kingdom of God has all of your provision. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added. All things that shall be added to you is in the kingdom of God. But listen, it's got to be taken by force. You got to press into it. You have to be violent in your level of faith in order to possess what God has for you. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 11. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Now let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 16 real quick. Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, this is the sister scripture to this particular passage. I want to give you another angle in regards to pressing into the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Here the Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. Now look at me for just a moment. We're talking about dispensations of time. So we find that there was a law in the prophets prior to John. Now if he's mentioning the law and the prophets and he's mentioning John, there's also a period of time after that. So we're looking at three specific dispensations of time. We have the law and the prophets, we have the days of John, and then we have that which is after it. But he says the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, since what time? Since John, this new dispensation, The kingdom of God is what? Is the kingdom of God is what? Preached. And every man is doing what? Pressing into what? The kingdom of God. The preached word of God. In other words, the word of God is preached with the possession of the kingdom of God in it. So each time that I prophesy, each time that I preach according to the will of God, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, it is also the provision of heaven. Are y'all listening to me? When I preach and prophesy about healing, healing is in the preached word. Your responsibility is to press into that preached word to receive your healing. Are y'all listening to me? So in other words, the law and the prophets were in since John, amen. And since that particular time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man is pressing into it. Now we came out of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 prior to that. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. In other words, men and women of God all across this globe are standing in the sacred office of these pulpits preaching the word of God, and the people are still suffering lack because they have not become violent to push and to press into the preached word. You cannot come into the house of God and be asleep, because you got to understand when the word of God is preached, it is your provision. And you got to press into that preached word and possess the preached word until the preached word becomes your possession. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody in here right now. You better get this in your spirit. So we got people who are looking for the things of God to fall upon them like osmosis. Listen, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. You got to utilize faith. The Bible says whatever you pray or speak saying, believing, you shall have whatsoever thing that you ask for. But we believe that just coming to the house of God and practicing religion is going to qualify us for the benefits associated with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Listen, just being in the presence of a business does not qualify you for the benefits of that business. If you show up for a particular business at the parking lot every day, though you are not hired and you don't go in, you don't qualify for the benefits of that particular business. You got to go in and be hired by that business. And if you're going to participate and receive the benefits of the kingdom of God, you got to not only see it, but you got to enter it. John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Verse 3 tells us that in order for them to possess the kingdom, that they must enter in. It is a season where we got to get an understanding of the kingdom of God, because what God is looking to do in the earth realm today is going to be dependent upon the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I wasn't going to go there, but I feel like the Holy Ghost just nudging me. Just go there. So, Titus, Hebrew. Oh, okay, there we go. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. Are we talking about this from Luke chapter 16, verse 16 now? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. The kingdom of God is preached. Luke 16, 16. And every man is pressing into it. Now, when we get to, once again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Now, there are people coming to the house of God hearing the word of God preached over and over and over again. And those are the same ones that are going on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all these different places and saying that the church doesn't work. There's no power in the church. But they don't understand that the church does not work autonomously. It works synonymously. It doesn't work independent of you. It works in synchronization with you. If you don't exercise faith, the kingdom of God won't work for you. So the same people saying that the kingdom of God doesn't work, there's no power in the church, it's not on God, it's on them. is on them. Because it says here very clearly, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed, hallelujah, we which have believed, are y'all following me here? For we which have believed do enter into rest. Now, what does rest mean? Rest means a place of isolation, cooling out, chilling. So you done gotten to the place now where you've made your prayers unto God, but now you chilling. You done entered into rest. That's the place you got to get into. You got to get to that place where you know that what you have prayed is assured to you as sure as you are living today. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Now, what this means now, when we combine Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, and here, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, is this. When we are a people that understand that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it there by force, sister scripture, Luke 16, 16, the kingdom of God is preached and every man is pressing into it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God preached didn't profit them that did not mix faith with the preached word. What we find now is that the kingdom of God is dependent upon faith in the minds of God's people, in the hearts of God's people, in order for them to be able to make a spiritual withdrawal of the place where their provision has been stored away. Some of you have gotten dreams, you've gotten prophetic words, and God has told you what was coming. God has told you what was promised. God told you this, that, and the other. You've seen prophetic dreams, and you're wondering why those dreams are not being fulfilled. You're wondering why those prophetic words are not being fulfilled. You're wondering why your desires, the prayers, are not being fulfilled. Well, it's because you have not taken the kingdom of God by force. In other words, utilize faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us what kind of faith. Now kind of faith. This is what it means here in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 4, where it tells us that we have to believe what we prayed has happened before the foundations of the world. When people become violent and they enter the kingdom of God with violence, they enter because what they're praying for, what they have desired, they're believing that this is not a season where it's going to materialize now. They're believing that it was materialized, amen, some 2,000, some 6,000 years ago, and their faith is going to bring into existence what has been preordained to be a part of my life. This is the violent that must take place. This also gives you somewhat of a description of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a place where all of your substance that you are to possess from the cradle to the grave is stored. And only by faith are you able to make a spiritual withdrawal. My God Almighty. The kingdom of God is an Old Testament prophecy and not something that has been made up in this 21st century. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 18, we can see that the kingdom of God is an Old Testament prophecy. The Bible says there in Daniel, chapter 7, and verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess it, the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. This is our responsibility, is to possess the kingdom. Because it's the kingdom where the king reigns and sits in his throne. This is the place that he rules his people. The problem we've had is we've been inside of the church looking for the king to rule. Problem is that the king is not in the church. The king's in the kingdom. And unless the church is in the kingdom, that you're dealing with a church without a king. Am I preaching to people that's awake or people that sleep? I'm preaching a word to you that will change your very life. The problem that we have had is that we have been in a place where we have looked and understood that the king dwells within the kingdom. But we have been in the church outside of the kingdom, and in the church outside of the kingdom, there is no king. Only when the church is in the kingdom are we are serving in a church that has a king. So when you're serving and in a place where you're worshiping, come on somebody, outside of the kingdom of God, it's a form of idolatry. You're not even serving God. You got to get to the kingdom in order to serve God. In other words, most times what ends up happening in the church is that our gods become a lot of things. For some that go to church, the God is the pastor. The only reason why they go to church is because of the pastor. For others, the only reason why they go to church is because of the function that they do in the church. They had a childhood where they felt insignificant, and now they're pushing the broom. Come on, somebody, washing windows, and they feel important, and it's a time that they can come to the church and feel good about themselves. So now their idol is the work that they do in the church. It's not until we understand the fullness of the kingdom of God that we're actually able to serve the King of the kingdom. Now, I don't have time to get there, but in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we also can see specific things that talk about that. Around verse 23, where the Bible talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he has his own church. He has his own church. It's called the kingdom. Many of us are looking to become a part of the roll call of some physical church when God is expecting you to become a roll call of the kingdom of God. There's two church roll calls you got to gain access to. The first one is to the Lord Jesus Christ church, known as the kingdom of God, mentioned there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, around verse 23. The second one is a local church that believes kingdom-mindedly so that you can be empowered to be a difference maker in the earth realm. You got it? So it's important for us to understand this when it comes to being in pursuit of the kingdom of God. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18 again says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, that says that the kingdom of God is an Old Testament prophecy, but we also know that the kingdom of God is a New Testament fulfillment. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. Book of Mark chapter 1 verse 14 tells us and shows us how the kingdom of God was actually fulfilled in this particular age and time. It says that after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. When is the time fulfilled? It is now fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So the kingdom of God is an Old Testament prophecy, but it is also a New Testament fulfillment. Thirdly, I want you to recognize the kingdom of God is a current day reality, birth through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that in the book of Acts chapter 1. I want you to see that with your own eyes, that the kingdom of God is also a current day reality, birth through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, and to the day in which he was taken up, and after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive with or after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it's not just merely a theory. Jesus Christ himself turned the page and says he came back after dying and he walked in the earth for 40 days before he went back to sit at the right hand of God, teaching them of the age that they were now in. So many people today are walking in a powerless New Testament church because they haven't quite understood that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself for 40 days with many infallible proofs. In other words, in the New Testament, he taught the word, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He that goes by me or enters by me are able to go in and out of pasture. God died on the cross, came back, spent 40 days and said, listen, it's a new day now. I'll come to spend 40 days to talk to you about the kingdom of God through many infallible proofs. Everything I taught you in the New Testament is to be demonstrated in this age, baby. So we got a church now that is walking outside the power of God because it's still walking in the New Testament. Oh, God, I'm trying to help somebody. He spent 40 days saying, I died at Calvary, closed that chapter, and now I'm going to talk to you for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Why in the world would you look at him teach you for 40 days about the kingdom of God, and when he leaves, you go back to the New Testament? Many infallible proofs. Many miracles, many signs and wonders. What was he saying? He was saying, listen, it's a season and time now. Well, what I walked in, you will now walk in. Come on, somebody. You are now going to walk in this thing. While I was in the world, I was the way, the truth, and the life. But guess what? There's a new sheriff in town, born through the kingdom of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When they begin to recognize, God says, go back to Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. Go to the upper room and begin to pray, because not many days from now, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. This is the release of the kingdom of God, just in case you didn't know it. My God Almighty. Verse 3, once again, of Acts chapter 1. To whom also he showed himself alive with passion, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, what we don't recognize and is that the kingdom of God, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he gave many, many parables in regards to the kingdom of God, he said very clearly that it's intended for you to understand the mystery of the kingdom. But for them that are without, everything is done in parables. In other words, it's important for you to understand that you need the power of Holy Spirit. The power of Holy Spirit living inside of you gives you the key to the counsel of the kingdom of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit active in you, when you read the word of God, it won't make sense. When you try to receive words of God, prophetic words, when you try to understand the things of the kingdom of God and have not the Spirit of God, you're not a kingdom citizen, none of it makes sense to you. I want you to see this in the book of Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is a mystery. It's given to those people who are kingdom citizens in order for them to function in the kingdom. Let me tell you something. Over and over again, as I've traveled and as I've preached the word of God, I talk to people and they always say the same thing. You know, the reason why I don't go to church is because I don't understand things. I read the Bible and it doesn't make sense. I do this and the other, it just doesn't make. Do you recognize the Bible is not for you? That's the reason why it don't make sense. The reason why you don't like the word of God is because you're not a kingdom citizen yet. You see, the kingdom of God is given to you after you believe, not before. So you got people who say that if I go to church and if you can convince me, then I'll receive it. It don't work like that. You see, you got to believe first and then you get to tap in. You get to believe first. But we got people trying out the church of God like an old pair of socks. They come in and try out Jesus like an old shirt. They come in and put Jesus on and see if it fit. Look at everybody else dancing, lifting their hands up, crying. Look at that people singing the songs of the Lord, praising God. And they're just looking. You can see them in the house. And they have no idea that that's not how you get it. The way you tap into God, because it is a mystery, is that you got to believe first. You have to let the Lord know you want to believe and you want to see. And then the Lord then will begin to give of you his Spirit. And it's the Spirit, the Bible says, that bears witness with his Spirit that you may know the truth. If you have not the Spirit of God inside of you, you're not going to understand the things that are being shared. And this is what makes it so difficult in evangelizing. You've got people who are going out there and they're knocking doors and they have good intentions to bring people into the light, but they don't understand 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 that says, the God of this world, he blinds the minds of the people lest they should receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Their minds have been blinded. So it doesn't matter what you give to them, they can't receive it. They can't understand it. It don't make sense to them. So for us, we get frustrated. But we got to recognize the purpose and power of the kingdom of God. Are you in Mark chapter 4? Look at verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a mystery. We got people who want to come in and want to receive God, but they want to receive it on their own terms. You cannot receive God on your own terms. There's only one way. Any other way to the Father, you become what? A thief and a robber. You was only one way. God says he is the door that leads in and out of pasture, the door of the sheep. You have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to give you of his Spirit so that you can receive. Verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Look at it now. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Look at verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive. You can see it, but you can't make out what it is. And hearing they may hear and not understand. You can hear it, but it won't make sense to you. Lest at any time, look at it closely, people of God, lest at any time they should be what? Converted. You cannot be converted without an understanding. And understanding will only come by the Spirit. So you got people who are coming here hoping to get saved by osmosis. If they get close enough to you. If you breathe on them. Come on. If they touch your suit coat, they're going to some kind of way receive the Spirit of God and get saved. It don't happen like that. The people got to recognize if you want God, you got to come in here for God. If you want him, you can have him. But you got to understand how he comes. All right? So you got people who are coming in thinking that they're going to come and see, and somehow they're going to be able to understand. You're not going to see. You're not going to perceive it. They think if they just hear it, they're going to be able to understand it. You're not going to be able to understand it. The kingdom of God is a mystery. So the same ones that coming here in here without the right understanding, they leave the same way they came. And they think something's the matter with the church. There's nothing the matter with the church. You're just operating in a level of misunderstanding. You don't understand how this works. I know I'm giving you guys something. Some of y'all can formulate a text message right now. You can't wait to tell your mama. Can't wait to tell your best friend. Girl, you better get on Periscope. You better get on Facebook. You better get that message today. I'm telling you. This is the reason we was just talking about this last night, wasn't we? Yeah, you know how it works. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? It's impossible for you to know all the parables if you're not in the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand the mysteries of God. All right? Now, let me just give you two things, and I'm going to wrap this up in regards to why we pursue the kingdom of God. There's some things we got to understand why we pursue the kingdom of God. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention, we touched a little bit of it last week. The first thing we have to recognize is that we need to pursue the kingdom of God firstly because God says so. You need to write that down. Reason why we pursue the kingdom of God is because God says so. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The number one reason why we seek first the kingdom of God, or the reason why we pursue the kingdom of God, is because God tells us to seek it first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. All right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The second thing I want you to recognize out of this same passage is, number one, once again, is because God tells us that we need to seek the kingdom of God first. Secondarily, is that the kingdom of God is where our provision is. I want you to write that down. The kingdom of God is where your provision is. All things shall be what? Added unto you. You got to seek the kingdom of God so that things can be added. Now, I want you to go up to verse 24 again of Matthew chapter 6 so that you can see what those things are. Many of us today are believing that somehow God, who lived thousands of years ago, is completely unaware of the things that are needed in today's time, today's culture, today's seasons. And I want you to recognize God is not ignorant. My God is omniscient. How many know what omniscient means? All-knowing. He's also omnipresent. He's every place at the same time. He's also omnipotent. What does that mean? He's all-powerful. So our God is all-knowing, every place at the same time, possessing all power. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Let's start at 25. We talked about 24. Once again, point number one, we have to pursue the kingdom of God because God tells us that we must pursue it. Secondarily, the kingdom of God is where our provision is. Amen. All things shall be added unto you. Now, when you get to verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. So you have to understand that God says seek the kingdom of God first. So that's the first reason why we pursue it. Secondarily, we understand that everything, all of the provision that God has provided for the kingdom citizens is within the kingdom of God. You don't have to take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Because out of the kingdom of God, when you pursue it and his righteousness, all things shall be added. So we struggle with being able to receive the provision of the Lord because we're not firstly pursuing the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to recognize also that God makes it clear to us that he wants us to be understanding that the kingdom of God is a place of power. It's a place of power. So if you're looking for power, amen, to get things lined up or established in your house, you have to recognize that the kingdom of God is where it comes from. I'm going to wrap you up with this one. I've got about six more, but we're going to wrap it up with this one. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. I want you to recognize the kingdom of God is also a place of power. Many of us are looking to have things done, amen, in our lives, but we don't understand quite yet that we're operating and doing things without power. You see, the book of Acts chapter 2 tells us that we shall receive power after, I believe, was that verse 8, 1 and 8? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen. So in other words, in order for us to actually operate within the kingdom of God, it's going to require power. They're synonymous. Any individual that is in the kingdom of God will be an individual that has the power of God. Any individual that is in the kingdom of God will have the power of God. The scriptures tell us that even the least of us that are in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist. The least of us in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was written about in the Bible. Think about that a moment. Let that sink into your spirit. When you get this understood, you're going to begin to recognize you've been walking beneath your privilege. Amen. The moment you gain access to the kingdom of God, that happens by you receiving of the Spirit of God. That makes you a kingdom citizen called to serve the king. You can see that also in the book of Daniel chapter 7. Verses 18 through the last part of it, you'll begin to see that the kingdom of God was established for power and for the people of God to serve God in his dominion. What I want you to get is that in order for you to be successful in any aspect of your life, it's going to require you to, as a kingdom citizen, to function and operate in kingdom, operating in power. Amen. In other words, many of you have been praying about your marriage, praying about your family, praying about your health, praying about your neighborhood, praying that your financial situations will change. We've got people who had good intentions who have given up on prayer because they've been praying outside the kingdom. And there is no provision outside of the kingdom. We find that there are people who have earnest desire to pray, but no one taught them kingdom. So they feel after just a short period of time of praying, they feel like their prayers are not leaving the room that they're praying in. Yeah, they start praying, but in the process of praying, they feel as if their prayers are not leaving the room that they're praying from. And the reason why is because they have not learned the kingdom of God. There's a language, there's a power there. The book of John, the Bible says that the Lord is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him how?
Spirit.
But what happens when you're not doing this in a spirit? Then where does those prayers go? Those are prayers that go into no man's land. God wants us all to be kingdom citizens. But it begins firstly by us understanding how we gain access to the kingdom. Maybe next week we'll start there in John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. So we begin to talk about how we gain access to the kingdom of God. And then we'll finish up these last things that will talk to us about why we pursue the kingdom of God. I hear the Lord saying that this is a season where he's going to begin to elevate his people to function in the kingdom of God like they've never functioned before in their lives. I feel like the Lord is saying today that in the seven mountains of influence, he's going to begin to establish the kingdom of God at the top of those mountains like he's never done before. And in systems and in these particular mountains, in particular the mountain of government, God's going to begin to strategically place kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God at the top of these mountains for the purpose of influencing the mountain of government. Hey, the Lord is saying today that he's ready to raise up people in political offices that are kingdom citizens. I believe God is looking to raise up kingdom citizens that are going to become the Lord, that are going to become, amen, the lieutenant governors, the mayors, secretary of state. Even, Father, we begin to pray in agreement that God, even in D.C., you're going to give us a true, oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. You're going to give us a true president that's full of the Holy Ghost and power, that he's going to receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to govern this nation appropriately and properly. We thank you, God, that even the aides to the president are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue talkers, Bible quoters that are going to be influential in the White House, God, that we're going to be able to navigate every demonic mind that has been set up to ruin this nation. Father, we thank you now for greater levels of participation with nations, God, that are operating in hostility against this nation, Father. Even as we pray, give our current president divine wisdom. Give him knowledge and understanding, Father God, how to navigate the minds of evil against this nation, Father. We come to pray that the House, oh God, the Congress would now begin to participate, amen, in the advancements of this nation in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody pray with me. Father, we believe, recognizing, Father, all things are possible to those that believe. We grab a hold of the horns of the altar right now and begin to pray with passion that, Lord, the nation of the United States of America is going to begin to align with the will of God. We thank you, God, today for a steady driving rain of the Holy Ghost upon this nation, giving us fresh wisdom, giving us fresh knowledge, giving us fresh counsel, Father, to begin to avoid every national tragedy, every national weapon against this nation, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, today that as we begin to pray, what has been lurking in the darkness will now begin to be illuminated in the light. Father, your word says you are the light of the world, and that light is the life of men. We come to pray that all darkness must dissipate. All darkness must begin to break up, and all that is lurking in the darkness, we command to be exposed. In the name of Jesus, wicked congressmen, wicked senators, we command you to be exposed in the name of Jesus. Wicked nations, we command you to be exposed in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says all power belongs to God. You're able to elevate one and pluck another down. Father, those that are operating in wickedness, we pray, pluck them down. And those that are operating in righteousness, elevate them, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we come to pray from nation to nation, from the east coast to the west coast, from the northern tip to the southernmost tip. Let the glory of God begin to fall in this nation. Let worship break out. Let prophetic streams break out. Let apostolic grace break out. Let the glory of God break out. Let this nation rejoice in the glory of God. Let there be angelical visitation, angelical participation. Even as we begin to pray in the name of Jesus, we promise our kingdom. We promise our kingdom. Let your kingdom come in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for hearing our cry tonight. Thank you for hearing our prayer today, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody just lift your voice up and begin to pray with confused noise that there's a breakthrough in this region, a breakthrough in this nation, a breakthrough coming over your mouth and contend. Contend in the Holy Ghost. Contend in the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Hey, hey, I'm a boat show. Yeah, I'm a sea. And I'm a boat show. Yeah. Hey. Come on, warriors, raise up in the spirit today. Hey, hallelujah. And the Lord said, all glory belongs to me. Hey, all glory belongs to me. Yeah, all glory belongs to me. Yeah, yeah. Shit out of. such a level of strength in the house of God right now. I'm telling you, I just feel like in this realm of the spirit, I hear chains that are breaking. In the realm of the spirit, it's like I hear shackles that are breaking. It seems like I hear the sound of prison doors opening up, and those that have been held captive financially are going free. Those that have been held captive emotionally are going free. Those that have been held captive in their minds are going free. I just hear chains and shackles and prison doors. Hey, the Lord saying there's freedom in this room tonight. There's freedom in this room this day. I need you to lift up and prophesy. Say, I got freedom. I got freedom. I got freedom. Touch a couple people. Say, you got freedom. You got freedom. You got freedom. You got freedom.